Gemara then the bracha and that's Tana Kain. It discusses the Korach Kotfila. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech was a Zakein Baba Yamin, and he was quite cold. Vayichasu b'magadim v'lo yichamra. They provided him with clothing, and they didn't provide its natural warmth. So it's something which is striking. That happens, we think, the Derech HaTeva. Person's cold, they bundle up, and all of a sudden you feel warmer. And that did not occur when it comes to David HaMelech. So Yosef Bar Chanina tells us the great Chiddush that that was not at all incidental. That was because years earlier, David HaMelech was Mevazeh, the Begadim of Shaul. And since he didn't show proper kavod, proper reverence for clothing in general, the clothing no longer were impactful. They were ineffective when he required them. And then it would suggest is an important Musar Haskel. It's not just something, this was a Begad and that was a Begad. But the Gemara is teaching you something that's very, very profound. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us certain opportunities, and a person has to cherish them. You have to revere them. You have to take advantage of it. And if you fail to take advantage of it, it's not just simply a missed opportunity, but you know what? You're going to come to a point later in life when you really need that, and all of a sudden you're not going to be able to count on that. It's not going to be impactful. It's not going to be effective. And isn't that true when it comes, for example, to tefillah? We have incredible opportunities to engage in avodah shavalev in tefillah. And unfortunately, mitzvos anashim ulamada, we don't take it as seriously as we should. The Gemara earlier in Brachos that tefillah is, Rashi writes, something which is omei berum moshal odom, v'nei odom is azlim bahen. The Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what the reference is. Rashi writes, only one, tefillah. It's something which is so impactful, so important, and we don't take it as seriously as you should. What's wrong with not taking tefillah seriously? It's not just a missed opportunity, but realize there's going to come a time in life that you really have to harness the koach tefillah. You're going to be at a crossroad. Maybe a person will be at a time of, you know, like a certain nisayon, and you're going to have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there, you know, tefillah, the Ramban writes, is a din d'oraisa, even if it's not day in and day out, but such a situation. And a person can walk away and think that, yep, my tefillah was not impactful. Why was it? I davened very, very earnestly. You know what the answer is? It's not only about the here and now. What's happened up until now? If David HaMelech was mezazeh, the big day show, years earlier, all of a sudden the begadim were not impactful years later. And therefore, it's so important to recognize those Dvarim Ha'omdim Rumo Shalom and be able to seize those opportunities. The Masha writes in Kedushin Daf Chof Tes that the Derech HaTeva, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, is that tefillah will be answered. Tefillah will be answered. Just like if a person's cold, we consider it to be the Derech HaTeva, that if you bundle up, you'll feel warm. The Masha writes that davening is not called being somech on an ace. Again, a person has to know the Gedarim. But typically speaking, a person davens for something, what you're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to perform such an ace, you know, the answer is, earnest tefillah is not called smicha al hanes, marshas bapurish, because that's the derech hateva. A begad warms, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to tefillah. But b'med ramamurim, when a person harnesses those kofas, when a person reveres the koach hatefillah, so then, you know, it's worthy of an appropriate answer. If a person is mezalzel the koach hatefillah, so in such a case, that doesn't happen. That I would tell you is a much, much broader Musar Haskel. And when the Gemara discusses what was the catalyst for the Churban Habayis, the Gemara writes in the Dharma Daf Pei Aleph that Amma Av Darish Lohem Avarchin the Torah Tchila. There was something lacking in Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah. Iran points out it wasn't about Birchas HaTorah. Shagasari brings a raya from there that Birchas HaTorah must be Daraisa. Because the Birchas HaTorah was only a Takana Drabanan. How can that have been a catalyst for the Churban Habayis? The Bosh Shushat, maybe the Raya is not the Raya Muchachas. The Ram writes, it wasn't about the Birchas HaTorah. Even the Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. It's a bittul essay. Surprisingly, a bittul essay would result in the calamity of a Churban Habayis. The Ram writes, why would a person not be careful about Birchas HaTorah? That's an indicator. Lo haya divrei Torah chashumeyim, lo haya oskin balishma. If you're not careful about the bracha, that's an indicator that you're not that careful about the privilege of Esek HaTorah. If a person is taking it as seriously as they can, their Birchas HaTorah is different. Not just simply the Talmud Torah. If Ahayim Mevarchin B'Torah Tchila, so maybe that's the greatest indication. Ahayim Divrei Torah Chashuvim. And if that really is true, that means that the Esek HaTorah is not going to be as impactful as it could be. Impactful in the sense that, you know, basic Torah changes who a person is. It's not going to have that impact if it's something that you don't take as seriously as you can. And even more than that, the Gemara has in Sota, know that Torah is magna umatzla. Torah saves a person. Torah protects a person. Torah has a certain shmira. You're only going to be zocha to that sense of shmira if it's something that you take seriously. Just like when it comes to David HaMelech, there was a disconnect between the reverence of the Begadim and the impact of the Begadim. The same thing is true when it comes to tefillah, the same thing is true when it comes to Eisek HaTorah itself. There's a Chosid Yavetz, the very beginning of his Pirushan, Pirkei Avos, that writes, the Gemara says the Churban Bayis Rishon was because of Birchas HaTorah. You know the Gemara, Yimon Dates. It was because of the Averos HaFamuros, the Avodah Zarah, Gilirayah, Shvichas Damim. That was the reason of Churban Bayis Rishon. How can you attribute it to Birchas HaTorah? Someone has to be careful how you present it. But the Chosid Yavetz writes that you should realize, yes, it's true, we could be guilty of Averos, but the Torah has an opportunity to be able to protect. It provides Shmira. It provides Yeshua. But B'med Dvaram Amurim, right, when a person is Osek B'Torah Lishma, if you don't do that, the Torah is not going to protect. You're going to become incredibly vulnerable. And then you know what? All other factors now can be the catalyst for Tzara, for the Churban HaBayis. The Mashal HaChasiyah HaYavis gives is that there's a person who committed a capital offense and the king's court decided to put him to death. Immediately when that happened, the king appealed to the court because that person was his Bamanagin. And whenever he played the beautiful melodies, it would assuage the king's anger. And he told the court that, you know what, if you're going to put him to death, realize what the repercussion deed will be. So they granted him a temporary stay because of the role he played for the king. Years passed, and all of a sudden he lost his koach of shira. He was older now, right? He no longer was able to sing before the king, and all of a sudden now they summoned him for the execution based on the earlier rendering of Besdin, because you weren't pardoned, you were granted a temporary stay because of being the Bamanagin. And when that no longer happened, all of a sudden, all the previous crimes came to the fore. So that's what the Chassid Yavid writes when it comes to Eisek B'Torah. The Klal Yisrael can be guilty of Averos, that certainly is true, but the impact of that Eisek B'Torah is something that is so powerful, somehow it can soften the Midas Adin. But once you're no longer Osek B'Torah Lishma, the Hoya Dibre Torah Chashuminehem, that no longer occurs, and therefore, all of a sudden, you become incredibly vulnerable. So that's why it's not a spirit at all. There were Averos Hamuros, but there was Eisek B'Torah Lishma in the time of the Churban HaBayis, Bohem Levarchim B'Torah Tchila, and therefore that was the catalyst for the Churban HaBayis. Now there are many reasons that there's an Isser of Eisek B'Torah on Tisha B'Av, the Sugyan Tainus and the Flamen Aleph. One reason, very simply, again, it's Machlok, is how to read the Gemara. Sugya quotes the pasuk of the Kuri Hashem Yeshom Esam Chelem. So Rashi writes that the reason Eisek B'Torah is Asra and Tisha B'Av is because of the Simcha Shem. Marsha writes on that daf that maybe that is only when it comes to Tinoko Shabbos Rabban. When it comes to a Gadol, of course, Eisek B'Torah will be Asra because any Hesach Hadas is Asra. Any Hesach Hadas. You're not allowed to engage in Kvisa, you can't engage in laundry on Tisha B'Av. So Eisek B'Torah would be a Hesach Hadas from the experience of Tisha B'Av itself. So two different deos. Rashi because of the Simcha Shabbat, Marsha writes because of Hesach Hadas. You know, on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to learn Dvarim HaRayim, according to Rashi, because the Dvarim HaRayim is not Ma'orir Simcha. And according to Marsha, that's not a Hesach Hadas. It's not a Hesach Hadas to learn the dinim of the Churban. That's not Hesach Hadas. That's what Tisha B'Av really is all about. So those are two fundamental reasons that there's Nisr of Eisek B'Torah. But perhaps one could add to that exactly this point. We didn't take advantage of the opportunities of Eisek B'Torah. And sometimes in life, unfortunately, when a person has the ability to, you don't take it as seriously as you should. And sometimes, only when something is taken away from you, only then do you realize the great void that it creates. sometimes, you know, we have every opportunity to learn, we take it for granted. And imagine, how is it that Kadosh Baruch Hu Chazal can tell us the importance of Isak Batorah? Imagine that you have to go through a window of time, an entire day, without free rein in the Torah session. The only thing you can learn is Dvarim HaRayim. And even that, you can't learn Be'iyun. That's simply them doing so. Bekiyas, that should create such a significant void that you know what, that's the greatest Musar Haskel. It's as though Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you know what, you're failing to appreciate the Torah Hashem. See how easy it is to go through a wonderful time without the free rein in the Torah Hashem. And therefore, you recognize that how powerful, how potent indeed that is. And sometimes, unfortunately, when we don't have something, all of a sudden you realize how sorely it's missed. And when you have something, sometimes you take it for granted. So maybe one of the reasons for the Isser Vesek B'Torah Tisha B'Av is in order to implant that message, that imagine that what life would be like without that free reign, without that free access. No? When Tisha B'Av is older, no, the first thing you do, you sit and learn. No? You eat. No? Why do you have to eat? No? You'll eat in a little while. Not like a whole day without, you know, like immediately. But once I Tisha B'Av, that's the time to embrace that sense of the Torah session. That's an unfortunate Musar Haskel at times. It's only when something is missing, you begin to appreciate it. You know, sometimes you hear people that, you know, they'll give his faith, and you know, like, you get the impression that only once a person is nifter, all of a sudden now, you know, you appreciate the kochos hanefesh. And when the person was b'chayim, you know what, people didn't take advantage of every opportunity that they had. That's tragic. When that indeed would occur, it shouldn't take, you know, the fact that there has to be an absence in order for the heart to grow fonder. No, that should that be? You have an opportunity. That's something that a person has to embrace. Tefillah is an incredible, incredible opportunity that has to be embraced, that it's transformative. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea Tefillah. And realize there's going to come a time when you really need the Koach HaTefillah. And the extent to which a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, is the Shomea Tefillah depends on how it is that we harness those Kofos and Efesh day in and day out, in order to see to it that happens. I've often commented that medrash that you find, Avdamas HaKosef Te'en Yaakov, right? Be klal gadol b'Torah, is Karban Tavi. It's a keves achata selabokim. The Gemara calls the 3 days. Now, the klal gadol b'Torah either being Shema Yisrael, Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim, or Avi Yahavta Re'echa Kamalcha. And the Gemara says that now, the halacha is Karban Tavi, the day in and day out, Avodas Hashem. That's the klal gadol b'Torah. It's not about heroic moments, and it's not about moments of great despair in Esara. The typical daily routine of the Avodas Hashem, that really is the koveya. And the more a person reveres and appreciates and looks into the daily routine of Avodas Hashem, the more empowered you are. And you know what? You position yourself that when it's needed, you know, all of a sudden, yeah, that a shefa bracha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed gives you. That's what the Bach writes in Tafresh Ayin was true in the time of Hanukkah as well, that Nisrashlu ba'avod, Chiddush, Nisrashlu ba'avod, that Bnei Yisrael came to a point that they didn't revere the Avodas HaMikdash. Of course, the Karbanos were brought daily as a routine, Mitzvos Nashim Lamada, but somehow the passion, the enthusiasm of Avodas HaMikdash started to wane. And when that happens, the avod is not as impactful. And if you don't redirect and you don't reposition yourself, then sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu has to take that away from you in order to recognize that how vital and how important indeed it is. And that's what happened when it came to the time of Bechashanah. We were not in the state of reverence of Avodas HaMikdash, and all of a sudden now we were greatly, greatly challenged. It required a Chanukas HaMizbeach, Betimuko HaShmanim. There's a Chiddush that the Balamor writes that it really wasn't the Yavanim. The Balamor writes in Avodah Zarah, Daflin Gimel, it was the Misyavim. The Balamor writes a studying Chiddush. Now, typically we have a principle of Ein Adam Osa Dover Shein Mashalach. You know what? You invite this person into your home, and you know, the person's an Oved Avodah Zarah, and he starts bowing down to all your furniture. No? Whoa, like, you know, like, is it really the case? Now I have to get rid of everything. I have to burn everything. I have to do. That's the Gemara of Rosa. Ain't Adam Osa Dover Shein Oshel. The Gemara has an incredible kasha. Eretz Yisrael is ours. That's about Azar Nafman and Gimel. So why is it that when we came into Eretz Yisrael, Basharia and Tisru Kondesh, we had to destroy Asherah? That's ours. It didn't belong to the guy. So the fact that the guy used it for, what do you mean? That's like bowing down in my house to my dining room table. No. The Gemara answer is incredible. In principle, you're right. But Bnei Yisrael were guilty of the Chet HaEgel. Bnei Yisrael Oved Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, when Bnei Yisrael Oved Avodah Zarah, not only were they Oved Avodah Zarah, but they gave license for Umos Olam to use that which is ours for Avodah Zarah. Let's assume, for example, a person comes in the house and I say, make yourself at home. Whatever you want to do with my objects, you do. If he would use it for Avodah Zarah, that's how. That's not called Enam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. It's done with a Metilas Rishus. Sometimes you need das violin in order to see when it comes to dini muktza. No, in order to go ahead and to render something as a basis, the davar asar, you have to be entitled to do so. Entitled to do so. You know, a person walks into my house and he puts something on my table. You know, if he was not granted permission to put it on my table, the table does not become a basis, the davar asar. The object can be muktza, but the table doesn't become a basis. The purpose of the table is to service that for muktza. Who says? I never empower the person to go in to do so. If I take my item and I place it on the table, that the table should serve as a basis d'arasa, that's when it's possible, and that's only if it's done consciously, deliberately, and not b'shogeg. If someone else were come, if they're entitled to, that's yes. If they're not entitled to, that's not. Certain halachas require das. And some cases are surprising. When it comes to basa b'chalav, you require das. No. A person goes ahead and spills milk into my meat. They say, no. In and most of therefore, it's mutter. You say, no. When it comes to kilayim, though, kilayim, that's not true. That's not true. I have, you know, carob that's growing, and all of a sudden another grain is encroaching. You know what? Nisyashim. If I decide I'm going to let that be, it's going to become osibatoras kilayim. Wow. It's unusual. I would think what's true of osibatoras is true of kilayim. No? And that's really not true. When it comes to Klai Zerayim, there you require Das. And when it comes to Mavas, it's just Nisut Tarubos, even if it happens absolutely by itself. But Das requires that Das violin. So the Gemara says that, how is it that during Hanukkah, we required a new Hanukkah Samizveya? Why? Why do you need a new Hanukkah Samizveya? But the Goyim used it inappropriately. Ein Anam Osa Dover Shein Oshama. So the Gemara says, you know what the answer is? Uvovo Pritzim Vechilu. Vova Prisa Michlus. The Machamas writes, that means that, you know what? No. If you use the clay Hamikdash for Avodah Zarah, it's going to become us. It's going to become us. You know what the Balamor writes? Uboa Prisa Michlus. We're not Gaim. Pritza means Pritza Yisrael. Not the Yavanim, the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim. There was a Jewish participation. And Mizbech, the clay Hamikdash, belongs to Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael will use it for inappropriate purposes, then we don't say in and most davar shein shalom. That's like incredible. The Balamor writes that, you know what, the tragedy of Hanukkah was not that the persecution externally of the umos olam, the yavanim. It was the misyavnim who participated in, and that's what is necessary to have a Hanukkah samizveya. It required a new menorah. It required a new hadlaka. But the Bach writes the roots of all of this was failure to revere the privilege of Avodah Samikdash. And imagine to be without. Imagine to be without. That's something which is very heavy. The Pasuk in Paraphrase and Sefer Chagai describes there were Zakenim who experienced Bayis Rishon, and they experienced Golos Babel, and they experienced the building of the second Bayis Samikdash. Now, Golos Babel was 70 years, you know, so you can have memories of the first Bayis Samikdash, living in the time of the second Bayis Samikdash. Like it was a roller coaster of emotions. You have a Bnei Beis Hamikdash, and you have a Churban, and you're Zocha to rebuild, but they recognized that there was so much that was missing. Yimadav Chavalah, Chaser Hay, they had a new Beis Hamikdash, but so much was missing at that particular time. And it was true when it comes to Chashmonaim as well, that here in Bayis Sheni, many things indeed were missing. We were Zocha to establish a Malchus, but the Malchus was not, you know, a pristine Malchus. It was a very corrupt Malchus. It wasn't what we would call a Torah Dika Malchus. And I've often mentioned that given all of that, the Rambam writes, no, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, the very beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the first two parakim is Purim, the first halachos in Chanukah. The Rambam writes, we say halal Chanukah. Why? The Rambam writes, Chazra Malchus Yisrael Yosem Asayim Shalom. because for hundreds of years we had a Malchus Yisrael. For hundreds of years. And that's why we recite it. It's amazing, no? That Malchus Yisrael was not a Torah de Kamalchus, no? It was a corrupt Malchus. You know what the answer is? It wasn't ideal. It wasn't pristine. It could have been much, 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 much better. No? Much, much better. But bottom line, though, is that what we had was a reason that you have to say hello. Say hello. It's not all or nothing. Either it's a complete Torah de Kamalchus or something that's not a value whatsoever. A value of Malchus Yisroel, right? Even if. Unless that's why we recite hallel at that particular time. So it's important to realize that, you know, we never experienced the Mikdash Hashem, so it's hard for us to know that what it would be like and what indeed we're missing. But if you don't feel the void and the vacuum, it's very hard to even soften. I will tell you that's Nisayin and Golos as well. That in earlier generations, Golos was so dire. Of course a person was mitzapa the Yeshiva. No? Because take a look at the beginning of the Hagel Shal Pesach of the Nesivos. You know, he describes what they're living through, and it was so dire. Yeah, of course you have to aspire to Gula. You know, we live in a time where we have a Golos of Chesed. We have every opportunity. And on the one hand, every opportunity is a great, great bracha. The challenge of a Golos Shal Chesed is the mitzapa the Yeshiva. It's happening, Yeshua. You know, if in earlier generations they were told that, you know, Mashiach is not going to come so soon, they'd be crushed. You know, if we're told that's going to happen, Rachman al-Islam, you know, are we so crushed? We still have our, you know, our routine. We still have our fun. We still have every opportunity. When you live in a society that we do, and truly, you know, now in the recent year or two, you know, we sense being on guard, more anti-Semitism than in the past, that certainly is true, but by and large, you know, do you really feel the Golos is something that is just an incredibly dire state of mind, state of being, and in Mitzapa the Yeshua? It's hard when you have every single opportunity, and that's the balance. You have to be thankful of Chas de Hashem, but you have to recognize that this is not an end in and of itself. The mashal I often give to an Eved Ivri, you know, where you can have an opportunity to go free and you can decide to remain. You know, you can get used to an existence that's so far from ideal, and what was supposed to be an onesh all of a sudden is perceived as being, right, an ideal existence. And that somehow happens when it comes to Golos. Golos is supposed to be an onesh. It's supposed to remind us of what we're missing. And yet, you know what? It becomes an ideal way of life that we're not really exactly sure. So that's an important musaraska when it comes to Hanukkah. If we were misrasho ba'avoda, certain elements of avoda were taken away from us. And even though we had a Beis Hamikdash, unusual golos in a Beis Hamikdash, because we recognize that Ashras Hashchina, it was not what it was in the time of Bayis Rishon. It's hard to us to relate to that aspect of Mikdash, but I would tell you, when it comes to Isak Torah, clear. You have to revere the privilege that we have Isak Torah. And if not, it's not going to be as impactful. And if not, Rachmana l'Tzlan could be taken away from us. And when it comes to Koach HaTfila, if we revere the Koach HaTfila and position ourselves and take it as seriously as we can, yeah, then you understand the Marsha, right? That's Mamish Teva. You know, you have a need, you doubt for something, and all of a sudden, like you experience a Yeshua. But if it's not something that we do day in and day out, you know, then one should not be surprised that the Koach HaTfilah is not as impactful as it otherwise could possibly be. So I think this is how we have to channel the kolkos during the time of Hanukkah. When it comes to Isak Batorah, when it comes to areas of tefillah, to see to it that we notch up and we position ourselves as much as we possibly can in order to simply receive the Shefa Bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And it's unusual nisim that Chayyusel experienced during the time of Hanukkah. And in Eretz Yisrael today, you know, the day doesn't go by without hearing about incredible nisim and Hashgachas Hashem. But more has to be done in terms of our particular avodah. With you know, the onset of whatever, it seems to be a long break this year until we reconvene in the Yeshiva. So it's important in Kamas and Eifos to really set incredible rules. Certainly, you know, Chazer, everything that we've done, you know, the goal of finishing the Masechta, that should be clear. Yeah, and if you're a little bit behind in terms of how that's going to happen, you know, by the end of the spring, you know what? Now's the time to be able to do so. I think the yeshiva is going to have an initiative during the break of learning the last 10 blad of the septa to see to it that will be covered. But make sure that you know, this time is more than kfiya zitin. During the semester itself, you know, you're faced with multiple responsibilities. You know, the real litmus test of one shifos is when you have the free time. How do you spend the free time? So if you have time where, you know what, relatively speaking, you don't have classes, you don't have that same pressure, and you maximize that time to learn as much as you can, you know what, that's a very good indicator that, you know what, the shifos are there, but I have multiple responsibilities. But even when if you don't have those responsibilities, they turn to the Nazranim, and you're only learning a couple hours a day, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, but not really so. It has nothing to do with college, no? Nothing to do with pressures and labs. Even if you don't have the pressures and labs, you're still not learning the 12, 14 hours a day, no? So, you know, so the lack of doing so, don't blame the lab, and don't blame the professor, and don't blame the work, if you have the time and you're not using it, so you know what? So it's just a matter of how do I spend all this time that I'm not using effectively? Is it a lab or is it just, chilling? You know, so okay, so, you know, a lab's better than chilling. That's okay, so, you know, like, but if when you don't have those responsibilities, now you really are, you know, like embracing and really learning and doing, and Azmanim is really an opportunity to be able to cover those things that you only wish you could have done had you not had the responsibilities of, you know, afternoon classes and college pressures. You know, that is an opportunity that you have to seize. That's how you do the Torah Chashuvim, right? To seek out every window of free time to be able to devote to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to try to be Osek B'Torah. You know, and sometimes there's occupied time. Rabbi Chazon Ish, like with others, that occupied time is not called Bittul Torah. It's not called Bittul Torah if it's legitimately occupied. Bittul Torah is the unoccupied time. Where you have an opportunity and you're not. And so that's something that a person has to make a din b'cheshbon. So it's important both in kamos and ankles to really have a routine, have a plan. What can I possibly accomplish? What are the goals for the time of the ben hazman? And it's a shame to be able to come back to the yeshiva with a sense of absolute ischanshus, to be able to recognize that, ayin divrei Torah chashuv b'neihem, in order to see to it that we continue in the coming Zman, accomplish great things in the Torah session.